Hey, y'all. The crawler is a little known and even less understood cryptid that has been spotted in all corners of the globe, and of course, throughout Appalachia. A tall, lanky, and gaunt humanoid form, typically with white or pale grayish skin, it skitters around on all fours at a rapid speed. Those who've been fortunate or unfortunate enough to spot these creatures report either large black reflective eyes or black holes where the eyes should be. Today I'm bringing you three stories from people who have been victims of the crawler and lived to tell the tale. I'm Candace, and I'll be your guide. I've been employed at a few different state parks around the country, but for the last 10 years, I'd been a park ranger at Shenandoah National Park in Virginia. I just retired this past fall, but I do miss a lot of things about my work a lot. Last spring of 2022, something happened that I wasn't prepared for at all. I've always been attuned to the sights and sounds around me, and though I'm cautious, I've rarely been afraid of much out there. The summer before last, 2021, we had a remarkably calm season. There were hardly any animals we had to deal with, and it seemed the bears and other pests were leaving everyone alone. In April 2022, people started to hear noises around their campsites very late at night. These noises would drive their dogs insane, but nobody had really seen anything unusual. It kind of felt like whatever it was probing and checking out the area nightly, but it was staying far enough away that we couldn't see it with our spotlights. Then, one night when I was walking back to my quarters, I started feeling a profound sense of dread and unease. There was the most creepy, malevolent feeling in the air. I looked around and scanned the tree line before looping toward my door. I scanned the area from left to right and from my fire pit to the table. About 20 feet behind the table, I saw a naked, extremely pale, almost gray figure. There was this big boulder behind it, so it was kind of blending in and not easy to see. If I hadn't purposefully been scanning the area, I wouldn't have even noticed it. The thing had this humanoid quality to it. And it was very lanky and standing still. It was directly facing me. Then our eyes met, and I felt my heart drop. I just went cold. I probably only stared at it for a few seconds, but it felt like several minutes while my brain was trying to process what I was seeing. It stood between 5 and 6 feet tall, and the shoulders were low and slumped. The body was frail and thin. It was crouched down on all fours. I couldn't make out many details of the face beyond its large black eyes. But its mouth seemed to be open and making strange clicking sounds. It's hard to describe. The fear and shock that came over me was terrifying, and I couldn't think rationally at all. I slowly pulled my phone out of my pocket, and I snapped a photo that seemed to startle it. I watched it jump up onto the massive rock and then climb the tree next to it. The speed it exhibited was astounding. I ran like my life depended on it the rest of the way to my door. I grabbed my shotgun and loaded it and aimed it at the door. I just sat there with my heart hammering, waiting for the doorknob to turn or the window glass to break. I even called for backup. I sat there and waited for what seemed like hours for two of my colleagues to show up. I must have sounded like a blithering idiot trying to describe what I had seen and what happened. I was usually really calm and collected, which is probably what made them believe me. The three of us were all armed, and we went out together to look for it. We stayed out into the early morning expecting to see or hear something, but we never did. Eventually, at around 4 a.m., we lowered our guard and I went into my cabin to try to get some sleep. The next morning, I could hardly believe what I'd seen the night before. I kept obsessively searching the area in the daylight to see if there were any shapes or items that I could have mistaken for the creature. But the only things around were my typical campsite things. I really, really wished that there could be another witness for validation. I had to make my report, but I had so little substance that I felt a bit ridiculous. I mean, there were no sightings by anyone else, and no one had been harmed. There were only the strange noises that people and dogs had been hearing and my one sighting. So what could I really say? The photo that I had taken was dark and grainy, and you could barely make out the rock, let alone the creature. I kept watch again that night to see if I could spot anything, but there was nothing. The thought that this thing could be out there observing us was really unnerving. It was also really hard to want to warn people, but not really have anything concrete to say to them. I attempted to have the photo analyzed by several professionals, but the pixelization and darkness made the photo useless. In this story, a third party relays the story told to him by a little girl who fell victim to a crawler. The setting is an extremely rural house in eastern Kentucky, the kind of place where you would have to drive 20 miles to get to civilization. A young girl around the age of 10 is playing fetch with a 90-pound German Shepherd police dog that had just been retired from the force. The girl threw the ball, and it hit a tree to her right, sending the ball behind her. The dog charged off behind her to get the ball, but just then, the dog's body was thrown past her and hit a tree with a loud thud, knocking it unconscious. Then a hard object slammed into the back of her head, knocking her out. When she awoke, she recognized the terrain and knew that she was in the deep woods. She also felt her body getting dragged along the forest floor, pulled by the back of her hair. The young girl screamed, scaring whatever was dragging her, making the entity drop her. She then ran off back in the direction of her home. She turned her head to see a white, pale, emaciated figure with black eyes, chasing after her, rapidly gaining ground. The crawler caught up to the little girl and grabbed the front of her hair with her kicking and screaming, dragging her into the woods. The little girl struggled in vain to get away, but the animal was too strong for her. The crawler dragged her into a riverbed and dunked her head in the water, attempting to drown her. Then she heard a loud cracking sound, loud enough to be heard under the water, and the crawler let go of her. She pulled her head out of the water to see her police dog, with its vice-like jaws firmly clamped around the crawler's upper forearm. The arm hung limp, and she could tell it had been broken. The crawler tried and failed to lift the dog, but lacked the strength to do so. She then ran off back home, leaving her dog to fight the crawler. Her parents talked to her and believed her story. A day later, and the dog still hadn't returned. Another day passed, still no dog. Then, on the evening of the third day, her dog hobbled out of the woods, its body covered in cuts and lacerations. It also had a lot of caked blood around its mouth. That dog made a full recovery and ended up living 3 years after its fight with the crawler. This next story, found on Reddit, is a three-part account of one man's experience encountering, then attempting to hunt, a crawler. Part 1. I have no idea what that creature was. I seriously need help and am terrified out of my mind. So I'll start off by saying I've never believed in anything paranormal. I'm a pretty science-based dude. I always look for a logical explanation, and I still am for this encounter. So if anyone has any ideas, let me know. I don't have much time for leisure with work recently. Been having to accept some pretty awful shifts to get by with the COVID times. So I've lost my ability to go on my evening walks, which are a method of stress relief for me. It had been a while since I'd gone on one, so 3 nights ago I decided to just go for a late night walk. I put on my headlamp and decided to take a path I hadn't taken in ages. There's a small trail near the back of my neighborhood that goes about 4 miles deep into the woods. My plan was to walk about 1.5 miles in and take the parallel path to come back. I make it down to around 1.3 miles, according to my Fitbit, and I start getting that feeling I'm being watched. So I turn off my headlamp and sit still to listen. At this point, I'm more concerned that there's a guy following me who's up to no good. I hear clear footsteps in the leaves off the trail, and they've been behind me for nearly 5 minutes. I stopped thinking it was an animal or another walker and became worried. Sitting there for probably 3 to 4 minutes, I hear nothing. I turn on my headlamp and decide to start walking quickly back home. About 2 minutes later, I hear footsteps again. This time, it sounds different. Sounds like 4 feet instead of 2 feet walking. And it's walking at the same increased speed I am. I turn around quickly with my headlamp and my phone light and point it behind me. Silence. I get angry and yell out, "Leave me alone, I'm going to call the cops, and if you come at me, I have a knife." Silence. I yell again to get out of here and start walking towards where I heard the walking. About 20 yards out, I see what looks like a literal naked man running full speed on all fours into the woods. Normally, I'd chalk that up to drugs, but my area doesn't really have a drug problem. And there were some details that lead me to believe it wasn't a person. For one, they were damn near hairless, completely bald, pale white skin, and the way it ran on all fours looked natural. Not like when you try to run on all fours and look stupid. It looked like its bone structure was designed to walk on all fours. There was no hunched look, their back was flat, and they were fast. The last thing that happened was straight out of a horror movie. I hadn't heard anything in a while on my way back, but kept turning around to be sure. With about 1/3 of a mile left to go until I was in the clear, I hear a mad dash through the leaves. I whip around, and it stops on a dime. I see the edges of its head behind a tree and yell loudly to try to intimidate it. What I hear next, I'll never forget in my entire life. It cackled like a monkey. A noise I've literally only heard in nature documentaries. The tone was that of mockery. A predator having fun with me. I didn't stick around. I sprinted as fast as possible back home. I'd love to believe this was some prank or a rabid, bald, diseased coyote, but I got a pretty clear look at it. It wasn't. It had human feet and human hands, a human head and human buttocks, but nothing else about it was human. I called the cops afterward and told them a man was following me. I didn't want to say some creature because they'd think I'm crazy. They didn't find anything, but they did see quite a bit of activity in the leaves and dirt, about 50 feet from where the trail was, leading far back into the woods before it got to a large stretch of grass where no footprints were seen. Please, someone tell me I'm crazy or that this was some elaborate prank or deformed man. Part 2. We went back into the woods, saw it again. So after some internal debate, I decided I was going to go back because otherwise it would eat me up not knowing what this was. When I first saw it, I had zero idea what it could be. I figured some drugged out or mentally ill man, a prankster, maybe a sickly deformed animal. After letting it all settle, though, there's just no way any of that was the case. I was trying to justify it in my mind because I've always been a heavy skeptic of anything paranormal. I still am, to be fair, but I'm warming up to the idea that crawlers may actually exist. So I messaged three of my buddies, told them everything that happened in detail over text, and asked if they'd come look with me. Them being non-believers like me and also just loving adventure and spooky stuff were more than excited to go. Two of the friends have guns, and so do I, so we all brought them. One friend had a pistol, one had a shotgun, and I had a pistol as well. The other friend was in charge of holding two flashlights to give us some light, one being a phone flashlight so he would be ready to take a picture at a moment's notice. We waited until about 9:30 p.m. when it was completely dark and headed down the same trail I did last time. My heart was pumping out of my chest, but I felt more confident having friends there. They were joking around and thought this was cool, and I tried joking back a few times, but the reality was, I was pretty nervous. We walked the full 1.5 mile I'd planned on walking last time and didn't encounter a thing. We'd prepped for so long, though, and I didn't want to give up quite yet, so we kept walking. About 5 to 8 minutes later, at close to the 2 mile mark, we started hearing some noises way back in the woods. It wasn't close, but it was loud enough for us to take notice. I told my friend to turn off the flashlight for a second, and we listened. Bipedal footsteps made their way closer to us. Still far, but definitely coming our way. It sounded like they were wearing boots or something because the heaviness of the steps was quite loud. That, or there were just a lot of leaves, which, to be fair, is a possibility. It was off the trail, so it's all woods back there. Once the footsteps made it about 20 to 30 yards away, I called out asking if someone was here. The footsteps stopped, but only for a brief second. A second later, the bipedal footsteps turned to what sounded like something sprinting on all fours in our direction. My friend immediately turned on the flashlights, but there was nothing visible through the dense forest. At the beginning of the trail, the forest is pretty clear, but further back it gets a lot more dense, so it was hard to tell. Once he turned on the light, the footsteps stopped as well. None of my friends were talking. Paranormal believer or not, hearing that will scare the crap out of you. My friend unholstered his pistol and kept it by his side. He looked at me, and I could tell he wasn't having a good time anymore. My friend holding the camera was visibly shaky and was darting his glance between all of us. The third friend shortly after yelled into the woods, "I see you! Come out! Stop messing with us! We have guns and we'll shoot. I don't want to hurt you over some dumb joke. Come on now." We hear that sound again. I mentioned last time it sounded like a cackle. This time it was more of a yell, shriek, aggravated noise. I don't even know what to compare it to. I just know it gave me goosebumps. My other friend just immediately fired his shotgun into the woods, causing my ears to ring horribly due to me being right next to him. I couldn't hear, but I noticed his gaze went from the spot we heard the footsteps from over to the right of that spot, about 90 degrees. I followed his gaze and for about half a second caught a glimpse of once again a tall human-like thing running on all fours behind a tree. He started walking towards that direction, but my friend with the flashlight stopped him. He made the point that it was buckshot. The chances he missed were slim, due to the fact that the tree it was next to was covered in evidence that the shot was on target. my friend made a scary point that we hadn't considered. What if it hit it, but didn't hurt it? What if he was right? What if it took a shotgun hit and didn't even fall over? My estimate is that it was between 6 feet and 6'4", maybe between 140 and 165 pounds. So if it could still run after that shot, it either didn't get hit or it's not something we want to mess with. We hear the cackle I heard the first time, that mocking noise. Not so much an aggravated noise this time. More so a noise that gave me the impression it was having fun or enjoying the fear we blatantly had in our voices. No more footsteps, but my friend shot in its general direction again. Ears ringing again, I couldn't hear anything. But I did see a small glimpse of it again running off deeper into the woods. Could only see its rear for a second or two before it was too far to be seen by the light. This meant it had to be running pretty fast. I don't want to give a number, but if I had to guess, it was easily around 20 miles per hour or so. Nothing a human could do on all fours, that's for damn sure. We turned around and jogged back home. Upon getting home, we talked about what we saw. Nobody was disputing my story now. We had all seen it. We talked all night. I showed them some of the comments on my last post where they suggested a crawler. We read a lot of posts here, and some of them matched our experience, some didn't. But we did all agree that if this was paranormal, that a crawler was the best guess we had. Now we're all on the same page. We still don't know if we buy into all the paranormal claims, but this one is starting to convince us. We realized at the end we hadn't even looked for pictures. We asked my friend with the phone and he shyly admitted he hadn't even thought to take a single picture. I'm not gonna lie, guys, I was so terrified I didn't even open the camera app a single time. I was just trying to make sure it wasn't behind us or charging us. I'm sorry, he said. We told him not to worry. None of us would have been any better about being calm enough to set up a picture. I never saw its face still. But the friend who took the shot swears it didn't have one. Or at least, it had no eyes. He couldn't see if it had a mouth, but it was about one-third out from behind a tree, and from his angle he saw, it was blank from the nose area up. Or if it did have eyes, they were too black to be noticeable in the dark. We did all decide, though, we're going to go back. We'll be more prepared next time. We'll do our research. We'll have a camera strapped to us or always recording. We know what to expect, so it'll be more calm. Any other tips or advice, please let me know. We'd really like to capture some full-on evidence of this thing. Part 3. We did go back. We spent time getting prepared. Strong flashlights, walkie-talkies, keeping one party member staying home for emergencies, a better camera, knives, a bat, and the same guns. We were confident, probably too confident, which led to us playing ourselves. I deeply apologize that this post probably won't be what you're hoping for. But for now, all I can say is after the events that happened that night, I need to take a break from life and start going to therapy. I've met with my therapist a few times, and it is significantly helping me process all the new data that was flooding my head. If I'm being honest, she thinks I'm full of crap, but I genuinely can't blame her. She does a great job at listening and offering real advice, even if she thinks I'm delusional. The only reason she hasn't started trying to recommend me to a specialist is due to all my friends coming along with me one time, where she heard all of our stories. I promise I'll write up a post of the events that have transpired that night, but I genuinely have been on the brink of a mental breakdown for some time now. In summary, though, to give you an idea of what I'm processing, we did see it. up close, in fact. The things that happened while in its presence have haunted my nightmares and plagued my mind during the days. One friend was injured fairly badly and needed medical attention. Not on the verge of death or anything, but he did not look good. He is okay and has since recovered very well, but mentally, he's probably worse off than me. Understandably so. I got away with the least injuries, so if this is any indication of what my friend went through, you'll understand why he's having a hard time. I'm sorry I'm not in the state to fully update you guys, but I really hope that once I've come to terms with everything, and once I can process it all, I can explain everything. Thanks for the support leading up to this. I've appreciated everyone's ideas and contributions. Listeners, note, the user attached a photo of his injuries, which is unfortunately no longer available to view. However, someone commented it looked like gravel rash, and the original poster said that yes, those injuries photographed were due to being slammed down into a bed of rocks. The poster returned for one final update. I got back on Reddit for the first time in a while and saw a lot of people had reached out asking if I was alive. I gave the below response, but realized not everyone would see it, so maybe people will see it here. I'm alive. I don't get on Reddit much anymore. Never was a big Reddit user, just needed somewhere to talk about what had happened. I've been on and off in therapy and am doing a lot better overall now. There are still times when I think back on the experience and get a form of PTSD almost. I'm not sure I want to call it PTSD because it almost feels like I'm downplaying the people who experience PTSD from war or other way more horrendous sights. But my therapist classified it as PTSD, so I guess that's what I'll call it. But overall, yes, I'm doing all right. Thank you everyone who's reached out asking if I'm doing okay. I have too many notifications to even read all of them, but this is my update. I'm just trying to live life like a normal person again and enjoy the little things. Taking breaks from social media in general and enjoying real life has been a major factor in piecing my mind back together. It's good to see that so many people genuinely cared about a stranger's safety and well-being. You guys give me hope, and your communities are very welcoming. I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened to what I had to say. I'm not sure I would have still been around today had I not gotten it off my chest. I locked comments because I don't particularly care to relive this experience and have Q&As on it. I just want to move on. But so many people helped me that I figured I'd at least give some closure to those people instead of just disappearing forever. At this point in time, I don't see myself coming back to this topic. But maybe one day down the road, my mind will change. I'm still healing. Maybe I'm a weakling for not getting over it as quickly as some of the others in the group that came with me have, but it just really isn't good for my mental health to constantly revisit this experience. And that is the end of the final story. Okay, y'all, that's all for our encounters with the crawler for today. Now let's talk about it. Of course, it can always be said with these stories and any other paranormal experiences that these are touted as truth, so we'll talk about them as such. There is, of course, always a chance that someone was exercising some creative writing. I do my best to screen for anything that just seems to scream fakery, but I couldn't find any evidence to support that this was all imaginary. But, you know, you listen at your own discretion. While most of the encounters I came across are more like the first story, just kind of a brief sighting that leaves somebody shaken up, the subsequent stories that you heard, stories 2 and 3, suggest the crawler can hurt people. Some of the other encounters I researched, interestingly, occasionally feature the creature only being visible to certain members of a party who are present, typically kids. But it goes along with the common belief that I share that kids see things that we can't. It poses the question if it's indeed the enhanced perception of children or if it can have selective invisibility, so to speak, for certain people. Maybe they're more easily seen by more intuitive people instead of the less intuitive people in a group. in some cases. This cryptid is interesting to me since variants on this description have been in other experiences that I've relayed on the podcast before. Almost every infamously haunted location that has a lot of spirits has an entity that they call the crawler. It's typically black or dark in color, but moves a lot like the crawlers that we hear in these stories. Some people theorize that the crawler is more of an interdimensional being rather than a cryptid. Something that can appear at will and just kind of scuttles away into whatever dimension it came from whenever it pleases. It seems less likely to be the case, given the story of the little girl being attacked in Kentucky, since I can't imagine an interdimensional being could be physically attacked. But what do I know about interdimensional beings? In the Shenandoah National Park encounter, it's intriguing that the witness got a photograph even if it was considered useless. Unfortunately, the photo was of course not included with the description of the experience because of course it wasn't. It seems like cryptids universally hate being caught on photo or video, but I always appreciate encounters more when the person who experiences them is more rational and logical, who can't seem to reconcile what they experienced. The story from Kentucky is intriguing, with it having attacked a defenseless child. It's also interesting that the German Shepherd injured the crawler, considering, you know, again, all stories assumed to be true, that it could have potentially taken a shotgun blast in the last story without being hurt. I wish I knew when the victim relayed this story to the third party who published it. I'm curious if it was shortly after the encounter or from her recollection in adulthood. The notes about the experience theorize that the crawler seemed to be more fragile than the average cryptid, being able to be fought off and at least seriously injured by a dog. Presumably, the creature wasn't seen again since that wasn't mentioned. That's another interesting component. Some of the encounters I came across had someone spotting the cryptid more than once in the same location. And lastly, in the final story, of course, let's get it out of the way that it is frustrating that we don't know exactly how it ends. In the final updates, the victim explains how he's been traumatized by all of the events to the extent of developing PTSD and doesn't care to think about them anymore. I also mentioned as a side note his injuries from being slammed into a bed of rocks, he states, and that one friend was injured more than that. He also briefly mentioned getting an up-close look at the creature, but didn't elaborate. Unfortunately, these posts are from 3 years ago, and it seems he held true to his word about not updating us any further on this story. Despite the intriguing yet unsatisfying ending, the experience was just too good not to include. He does mention that they did get a good look at the creature up close, so that leads me to believe it was in fact something unexplainable rather than a person or an overactive imagination. Also, y'all, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't shoot your guns off into the darkness. Don't shoot at anything you can't see clearly. They're so lucky they didn't accidentally shoot a person out there. As always, I want to know what you think. What are your thoughts on these stories? Do you find them believable? I feel like in this episode in particular, that's a very good question to ask. I think I believe the Shenandoah National Park story for sure. It is not weird to see something out in a national park at night by a skeptical person. The others, it's debatable, but tell me what you think. You can share your thoughts on social media. You can find me at Obscure Appalachia on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Feel free to tag me on your opinions or story ideas. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to help support it, visit patreon.com/obscureappalachia. All Patreon support goes to helping to pay for the hosting and software fees and is so very appreciated. Patrons get early episodes as well as access to Obscure Worldwide episodes exclusive to Patreon. These episodes are more casual, conversational, and unscripted. More like we're just having a little chat about unusual topics. So, you know, right up my alley. As always, thank you for listening. Until next time.